You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet world. West Alabama, how are we doing today on a Wednesday? The rare Wednesday that feels like a Friday. It definitely does not feel like Wednesday to me. But you guys are checking out the Bama Central YouTube channel. You're checking this out on the Bama Central Facebook page. Just the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us at Joe Gaither 6 on Twitter. We're going to have a great time this morning in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios now that we actually are live. Clicked to get started about 10 minutes ago and did not get started. So we are live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. You can call Derek for all of your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Call and see how much Derek can save you today on your home, your life, your auto insurance policies. Call and find out at 205-758-3391. We're hanging out with Mason Woods. You can follow Mason Woods at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine, writing all things recruiting for the Walsh Writing Network. I want to get into a recruiting topic with Mason today. I want to talk about Alabama and Wisconsin. I watched a little bit of Wisconsin versus Miami of Ohio. I watched a little bit of Wisconsin versus MTSU. I will watch more of those games today so I can get to really familiar with the Badgers so I can make an accurate pick. Mason, we're 2-0 with the Bama pick. We took Florida State to cover. We took Alabama to cover against ULM. So we're 2-0. We're trying to get to 3-0. It's 21.5 this week is what I'm seeing with Wisconsin. So that feels like a little high, but maybe the Wisconsin Badgers are not a very good Power Four team. So we'll talk about that today. We'll talk about the two big-time basketball recruits who are going to be coming onto campus this weekend and much, much more with Mason Woods. Good morning, Mason. How are we doing?
I'm doing good, doing good. Ready to get into it this morning. Now, you mentioned the recruiting things. Alabama having some basketball commits coming to town this weekend. I have been, you know, taking a look at that and then really just trying to focus on these high school football commits. They've been putting up some big-time performances over the last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you did that for Bama Central yesterday. Let's talk about it. Let's start right there then. What was Cedarian Morgan's big week like? You, what did Xavier Griffin do? We had EJ Crowell had another big time performance. Yeah, do you have any big standouts from the Alabama side? I know you tweeted out videos, and you can find the video at MAWoods_. You can you tweeted out videos of Jet Amala and of Brian Williams Jr. Who stood out from the Alabama side this past weekend on the high school realm?
Let me see if I can get this tweet pulled up. I know I had a list of some of the top guys. I know Jet Amala was one of them.
A million yards.
Yeah, it feels like it at this point. Like 4 or 5 touchdowns, I believe, as well. I think Cedarian Morgan, I think he was, despite being triple team covered the entire game almost, he still managed to pull out a pretty decent game from what I recall. Let's see, the top three guys that I had in this tweet were Jet Amala, 11 for 16, 226 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown. Xavier Crowell with 12 rushes for 119 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then Owen Cabell with 3 receptions, 113 yards and a touchdown. Let's see here. I'll go through and see if there's any others that I maybe couldn't add to the tweet. You know, as I have like almost never had an issue with the character limit on tweets. But now when I start putting these things out every now and then, I'm always like 5 or 6 over. And it's just like, you got to figure out some way to make it work. That's a bit frustrating. Let's see. Xavier Griffin and Gainesville were on a bye this week, so nothing from the 5-star there. Cedarian Morgan, yeah, double and triple team covered the entire game, still had 5 receptions for 70 yards and a touchdown. The guy is absolutely ridiculous. He is a prime example of just quarterback saying, F it, Cedarian's down there somewhere, and they just lob him the ball, and he comes down with it more often than not. Let's see. Jordan Edmonds had a good game, 3 receptions for 70 yards and a touchdown, 2 tackles on defense. And then he also had a 45-yard kickoff return. Didn't score on it, got caught, unfortunately, but set his team up well. I mean, really overall, like a lot of these guys, big-time performances. You can go read the whole thing, and I won't go through all of them, but some really, really big-time performances for these high school commits. I think Alabama has done a pretty good job of identifying talent that may not have, you know, getting in early on some of these guys, because I imagine a lot of them will be moving up in these rankings as their season progresses.
Well, there we go. You can follow Mason Woods for all of your Alabama recruiting news. He's actually covering Alabama, Missouri, Vanderbilt, and Boston College. So he's got little rundowns for all of all 4 of those schools and what their commits did this past weekend.
When I tell you, Vanderbilt might have him one, this kid named Tilden Riley, tight end, wide receiver, kind of tweener. Let's see. I think he's got 350 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions in the last 2 weeks.
Where's he from?
He's a school in Tennessee, I want to say. Let me double check on that. But yeah, I mean, this past week, what do you have this week? Like,
we can't live in a world where Vanderbilt has a big time recruit.
He had 202 yards and 3 touchdowns and a 54-yard rushing touchdown this week.
Man.
Yeah. South Carolina, that's right. Orangeburg Prep in South Carolina.
We can't live in a world where South Carolina has a big time recruit.
He's, you know, grain of salt a little bit, and he's dominating some pretty small kids in a couple of these clips. Okay. But like overall, he's a dang good player. Seemingly, he's got the skills. Vanderbilt might be getting. They might be building. Hey, that was a huge win against Virginia Tech.
Yeah, down 20-10, and ended up coming back and waxing them. Was it 40-20 or something?
That was awesome. As many Bama fans will probably say this is sacrilegious, I am firmly rooting for the Commodore's success. I would like to see them do well.
Shoot, they'll be here before you know it. That's October 4, I believe, for their trip down here. And they've got a pretty clean schedule, don't they? Between now and then, they have they've got Georgia State, they've got South Carolina, Georgia State, and Utah State.
South Carolina is a litmus test game.
Yeah, South Carolina this weekend on the 13th, and then they have two basically cake games until they come to Tuscaloosa, Georgia State and Utah State. So if you can get by,
tough stretch for them after that Alabama game.
You get by South Carolina, you're looking at 5-0, and you're looking at a little tiny number by your name when you come to Tuscaloosa.
Certainly. I mean, I would think you're probably a top 15 team.
If you're 5-0, you beat South Carolina, I think that they'll be at 12th? 19.
Oh, that's 17. Disrespectful.
It's Vanderbilt. They're going to have to take.
They beat Bama last year.
I know, but they're going to have to take all the respect that they can get.
They're potentially beating a number 11 ranked South Carolina this weekend.
Yeah, and these other wins are terrible. Charleston Southern, Utah State,
fine win, but yeah.
Georgia State. They'll be at 17. They'll be at 19.
Sorry, they'll use it as bulletin board material.
That's right. They'll be at 19, and then they'll beat 16th-ranked Alabama, and everybody will go crazy. Well, actually, Alabama would probably be ranked higher after beating Georgia.
Is that going to happen? Do we really think that's going to happen? I know we're a few weeks out, a little bit. You know, we got Wisconsin still, but we can potentially overlook the Badgers just a tad.
Golly, yes. Wisconsin is not good.
The only thing that really intrigues me with Wisconsin, and it really doesn't even have anything to do with their football team. Like, did Luke Fickell take him? Was that a mistake taking that job?
You were always going to go right, but you were always going to go from Cincinnati to somewhere.
It just feels like this was a let me get to Wisconsin. Buy my time for a couple of years, because surely Ryan Day will be gone soon. And then Ryan Day won a championship, and now he's stuck at Wisconsin.
Yes, exactly. Just stay at Cincinnati. Stay at this little small school Cincinnati until you're ready to go to where you want to go.
Because I mean, I haven't heard that guy's name since he left Cincinnati, basically. Wisconsin has been fine, I guess, by Wisconsin standards, but hasn't really improved them. It's hard. I imagine it's hard to do at Wisconsin.
No, they've had some tougher years. They were, let's see.
I mean, I remember a time, you know, this has been, well, I mean, it's probably been 10 years. Whenever it was when Alabama played them week one, where they were, you know, seemingly, at least at that point in time, they were a fairly respected team. You know, they were putting together nine win seasons occasionally.
Yeah, I think that was 2010, was it not?
Maybe, yeah. I feel like it was later than that, like
2013.
14, 15, maybe.
Well, okay, you got 8, 9, 10 wins, 11 wins most of these years. Last year, 5-7. Luke Fickell went 7-6, 5-7. Now he's 2-0 this year, beating Miami of Ohio and beating MTSU. This MTSU win, I mean, people are going to look at it. Wow, 42-10. MTSU lost to Austin Peay.
That's tough. That is tough.
They still got, you remember when we played MTSU 2 years ago, right here in Tuscaloosa to kind of open the Bryant Denny Stadium that year. I believe that was Jalen Milroe's fumble and picked it up for a touchdown, first touchdown of the year.
Bit of breaking news.
Go ahead.
4-star Terrace Bowie has committed to Alabama, the second commit in the 2026 class, 6'5" wing, number 5 overall player in the 2026 class. Second commit this week for Nate Oates and them boys.
Do you need to text Hunter?
Hunter just texted me about it.
Okay, so. Great. Exactly. So say that name one more time. 4-star wing.
I might be getting this wrong, mind you, but Taris Bowie, TARISBOUIE.
So two commits in 2 days, basically.
For might the Crimson be getting some Tide. More this weekend. We'll see.
I told him. I said we'd get the next few, basically all in the span of about a week. Well, we probably won't get them that quick. So we'll see.
They are seemingly cooking up something pretty big for this 26th class. It looks like, you know.
Well, as long as they get Caleb Holt. If they don't get Caleb Holt, then I'm jumping off a cliff.
I will be upset. I'd be upset if they don't land Caleb Holt. I think they got a good chance, especially, and we might get into this a little later with the Auburn coaching situation maybe being in flux. Who knows? I think for anybody who was a little bit concerned with the 25 class, maybe taking a bit of a step back just from what we've seen from Nate Oates recently, I still think they're good players, but, I think maybe they knew that they were about to go try to really get some guys in 26.
Yeah, Caleb Holt's been out there for forever, at least 3 or 4 years now.
Okay. So feeling good.
Feeling good. We'll see Caleb Holt on Saturday.
Caleb Holt and Dylan Mingo.
And we won't let them leave Tuscaloosa. Yeah, we don't care about your senior years of high school.
I mean, do high school basketball players even play high school basketball anymore? Or
no.
Do they just play AAU?
Exactly.
I tried to find any bit of like actual, here's how he played for his high school statistics. Impossible to find for Caleb Holt. It's all, EYBL, Adidas Three Stripes Super League. It's, AAU, whatever. Like, it's all these other random things.
Is he Buckhorn?
Yeah, was at Buckhorn.
That's right.
Now he's at Prolific Prep.
That's right. Out in California or Florida?
It's in Georgia, isn't it? Or is it? I think they moved it from California to the Southeast. I just can't remember if it's Florida or Georgia.
To Florida. Okay. Yeah, they did. Well, awesome.
Fort Lauderdale.
We'll lock them down in Reese Pfeiffer Hall. They won't be able to allow to leave.
I think, I don't know a ton about Dylan Mingo. I haven't really done a deep dive on him. I have watched a fair amount of Caleb Holt, though. And, yeah, that is absolutely a player you don't let get out of Tuscaloosa without earning his commitment.
Well, I guess we need to talk about the reason that Mingo and Holt are coming to town on Saturday.
Yeah, let me get back to the Badgers.
Alabama taking on Wisconsin.
Does Wisconsin have a live mascot? Do they have a live Badger?
No, but they should.
Come on. He's got to be like the easiest one.
Yeah, they ought to.
You're telling me LSU can take care of a Tiger, Georgia can take care of Ugga, but you can't just keep a Badger?
Maybe they can.
That'd be awesome. Underrated mascot, honestly. Yeah, nice and unique. I feel like it fits the Midwest well. I don't really know a lot about Badgers, but it's very fitting for Wisconsin. It feels right.
Bucky the Badger is the official mascot of Wisconsin. The state's lead miners lived like Badgers.
Okay. They got to get one. That would change that program.
Get them going.
That's what Luke Fickell needs. That's the caffeine shot, the steroid shot that program needs to get to the next level. They got to get a live mascot. I mean, within reason, if you have a animal name mascot, you got to get the live animal.
If you can, right.
I'm surprised that some teams have tigers. Like, that's crazy to me. But, anything less than that, you absolutely should have it.
Kalen DeBoer riding into Bryant Denny Stadium on a mini on a mini elephant.
If Florida needs a gator just on a leash on the sideline, that'd be awesome.
Snapping at people.
That'd be so cool.
Well, I don't know what's going to be coming to town with the Wisconsin team for a couple reasons here. As we said, Wisconsin took beat Miami of Ohio 17-0 and beat MTSU 42-10. MTSU loses to Austin Peay. Mm-hmm. I should have looked at that, what Miami of Ohio has done.
I was going to say, I do think it's worth noting that we're about 95% sure it took Wisconsin until deep into the third quarter to score their first touchdown that game.
Well, okay, Miami of Ohio lost at Rutgers 45-17. Another Big Ten team. They were on the road. So they played at Wisconsin a whole lot closer, 17-0. We spent all last week talking about, it's not gonna matter what you do against ULM. And I'm walking out of the stadium on Saturday night thinking, it didn't matter that Alabama won 73-0. And people are kind of in my mentions telling me that it does matter. Yeah. Of course it does matter. We look how much better we look. Excuse me, got major congestion in the last 20 minutes. I don't know if it's going to matter what of course it matters if you lose, but sure. I don't know if it matters what Alabama does against Wisconsin. I don't really think that Wisconsin is that talented, is that good. And so it could probably be another. The line's 21.5. I'm starting to feel like at first my gut reaction was, of course, Alabama's not going to cover 21 points. That's a lot of points. Power four opponent. They're it's Wisconsin. It's a nice brand. On Wisconsin. Plow right through that line.
That's a basketball school. Yeah. And they're not great at that either, but it's a basketball school.
Well, they got Ron Dane.
It's basketball school.
Okay. Well, maybe it is. maybe it is.
It's a, I think we play sports here, school.
That's exactly what it is. they like to party. They like to have a good time. And maybe our Wisconsin friends can bring down a lot of Spotted Cow. Spotted Cow. Mason, top beer.
I'm not even familiar with it.
Well, it's only brewed in Wisconsin.
Okay.
So maybe our Wisconsin friends can bring some down. If you see any this weekend, Mason, jump on it. Jump on the chance to have
it. I've always heard good things about the Wisconsin faithful and about anybody that's taken a trip up to Madison. It seems to be that they have a very welcoming, a very kind fan base, and maybe they'll travel well. I don't particularly anticipate them traveling overly well, but I hope to see a little bit of that brighter red down here in Tuscaloosa.
So they bring in a new offensive coordinator this year, Jeff Grimes, and he's kind of coming from Kansas. He's kind of trying to run the football a little bit, trying to misdirection you, trying to kind of multiple offense set. Not quite to the degree that Gus Malzahn wants to run the ball, but there is still heavy desires to run the football. And so I'm thinking to myself, when I'm first putting on the tape, this is going to be a challenge for Alabama. Mm-hmm. They're going to run right at you. They're going to test your manhood. They're going to test your physicality. They're going to put everything that we were concerned about and everything that we found out about in week one back under the microscope. And I thought, great, that's exactly what this team needs. That's going to be, will it be a challenge? Sure. But it's everything that this team needs before they go into the Georgia matchup. I don't know how much Wisconsin is really going to be pushing you around. All right, a couple factors here for Jeff Grimes. They go the first week with, your group of five offensive linemen. This between the first and second week, they make four changes on the offensive line. So this week's number two offensive line is already imagine you left Parker Brailsford, but you swapped all four other offensive linemen out.
We were like almost in panic, not panic mode, but like it. We could have probably spent 30 minutes talking about maybe moving one guy around, Wilkin Formby.
Right. There's your first thing to know to notice when you're looking at these two games. And then the second thing to notice is their starting quarterback gets hurt in the first game. Their starting quarterback, Billy Edwards Jr., gets hurt in the first game against Miami of Ohio. They play Danny O'Neill in the second game with MTSU.
He's slinging it.
He's throwing it pretty well.
Jeff Grimes coach Zach Wilson at BYU.
Oh, I didn't. Okay, there we go. Well, maybe one of these guys is the next Zach Wilson. Hide your mamas. But you're going to have, you're going to have, you don't know who's going to be playing quarterback, whether it's going to be Billy Edwards Jr. back healthy or whether it's going to be Danny O'Neill. And so you're trying to like conglomerate these tapes, and it's honestly some of what you're dealing with Florida State. With you're taking an old offensive coordinator, Jeff Grimes, and you're trying to watch his old offenses at Kansas, just like you were trying to watch Gus Malzahn's offense at UCF. Now, the quarterback athleticism is not near, it doesn't matter, Billy Edwards or Danny O'Neill. It's not near what Tommy Castellanos had in the athleticism department. Now, will they still move him and run him? Probably a little bit. You're going to have to. If you're watching this Alabama tape over the last year and change and you're not running your quarterback, you're done.
Yeah, I don't care who you got back there. You better be putting him out on some runs.
Yes.
Judging off of what Luke Fickell said yesterday at his press conference, it's not – I'm not going to say that Willie Edwards won't play 100%, but it's not looking great. He basically just said, we don't really know much about him. We'll find out. So I feel like if it was anything positive, he'd have probably known. That feels like coach speak for, it's not great, but we don't know exactly how bad it is.
Right. It sounds like I don't want to say what the plan is so we can keep any sort of competitive advantage.
So we'll probably see Danny O'Neill.
Yeah. All right. And so you think about, like, so when I'm watching a game, I'm first starting offensive line and quarterback. Well, the offensive line in major flux, quarterback in major flux. Okay, great. Not very inspiring. Against MTSU, they ended up rushing for 153 yards. Not so hot. Against Miami of Ohio, they ended up rushing for 165. A little bit better. A bit better.
I think a lot of that was a big chunk from that wide receiver taking a carry, too. I remember seeing the clip from it that week. I think he had like one long 40 or 50 yard run. Tretch Kekahuna.
Oh, yes, for MTSU.
Against MTSU.
Yes. He did have a nice run.
Grain of salt with that slightly okay rushing performance.
One carry, 61 yards and a touchdown for Tretch Kekahuna, which goes in your name, Hall of Fame for 2025.
Oh, that's a good one. That's
Kekahuna on the reception. But it's a fun name. But their skill position players are not good.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't say they're very good. I'd say they're pretty run of the mill.
They bring back Chesmalusi. Not Chesmalusi. Cade Iacomelli. Chesmalusi was in their backfield last year, and also Cade Iacomelli was too. But they bring back Iacomelli, who 4 carries, 15 yards against MTSU, but he's like their starting-ish running back. Just not very talented skill position guys. Iacomelli against Miami, Ohio, 5 carries, 20 yards.
It does seem like they like to, I mean, not that Danny O'Neill is a running quarterback, but 14 carries in 2 games, so like he's going to get the opportunities to run a little bit.
Yeah, he is.
Something to watch out for.
But there's nothing on these two Wisconsin tapes that make me think, wow, Alabama really needs to get ready. Alabama really has to be on their P's and Q's. Just show up, Crimson Tide. Mm-hmm. Just show up, Bray Hubbard, and see what you guys can do.
Which, Bray Hubbard, I love you. Love how you played this week. I did not love him coming out and saying, yeah, I love the response from our defense this week. You were part of the problem. Like, you don't get to come out and say, yeah, I thought everybody else stepped up really well. Like, you were the one that had to step up. You should have come out and said, I thought I played better. I thought everybody else played better.
Well, he did that part too.
Okay, I just missed that, I guess.
Yeah, he said it was on me.
Okay.
He said,
good.
He said,
because I didn't watch the full clip. So
he said, everybody sees it. My coach sees it. I see it. Everybody sees it.
Good.
It's me.
That's what you want to see from, especially a veteran player.
Right. He was pretty forthright. We had him for about 9 minutes yesterday, and we asked him, how do you take the negative criticism? He goes, you ever pour gasoline on a fire? Like that. That's how you take
that's
it.
That's good. I like that.
All right, buddy.
That's an Arch Manning line right there.
Calm it down.
We got targets on their backs.
So I'm not too concerned about this Wisconsin offense. Yeah, they're going to get downhill and try to run block you. And so you're going to want to be, man up in the trenches, and stop the run. But if that can happen, then I don't really see. Now, I did like a receiver. What was his name that I liked? Oh, let me find it. Receiving. Vinny Anthony. Vinny Anthony in the first game, 4 catches, 57 yards, and a touchdown, right, against Miami of Ohio. And then in the second game, Vinny Anthony, One rush, 14 yards and a touchdown. And then he also took four receptions, 50 yards, and a touchdown as well. Little speedster, kind of got some decent size. I do think that he's a kind of a contested catch type guy. But there's just not a whole lot of weapons on this Wisconsin team that makes me, you know, stay up at night.
8 sacks in 2 weeks for the defense.
Oh, watch out.
Hey, if there's anything this offensive line has shown us against Power 5 competition, they're relatively soft.
That's going to be fun. That'll be interesting.
That's about the only interesting thing I can really take away from. And, you know, I'm just box score watching here, basically. I didn't watch as much Wisconsin as I think you did, but that's at least interesting. You know, maybe I don't know if that is I didn't watch it, like I said, so I don't know if that's more indicative of the two offensive lines they faced against or if they just have some guys with some good moves, because it is, you know, it is 8 sacks split across 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys. So, you know, it might just be it might be less of a dominant defender and more of a they're playing bad offensive lines.
That's what I know. Like Miami of Ohio and MTSU were not good football teams. And now I will say this, MTSU a couple of different times. Here's where I think you're going to see, like, this game can get off the rails for Alabama. While I don't think that there's a whole lot of skill position players for Wisconsin to really, you know, get scared about, I also see a big opportunity for Ty Simpson, for Isaiah Horton, Jeremy Bernard, for Ryan Williams. MTSU got down the field vertical on them a few times in, hey, we're just going to run our man down the field and we'll throw it up to him and see if he can catch it. And they did catch it a few different times against Wisconsin. Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, buddy, just throw it up there and let them make a play on the Wisconsin cornerback. I think that there's going to be a lot of opportunities for Ty to, hey, man, just give you guys a chance this week.
Yeah, so is Horton a pick for breakout player of the week? You know, last week, I guess it was Lozier Brooks. First week, if you even could call it a breakout, Jeremy Bernard. Me and you knew he was, you and I, we knew he was going to be great. But is it Isaiah Horton this week? Are they going to give him some jump ball opportunities?
No.
You're probably right.
No.
Sebastian Cheeks is going to be all in the backfield for Wisconsin. They're going to be giving too much pressure to Ty. That's just an incredible name. I had to get that out here. They got a linebacker named Sebastian Cheeks. They got some good names on this Wisconsin team.
Right there. I was like, I was trying to look for it on this depth chart. 15. Okay, I'll look for him again when I rewatch this stuff. Was it 6 that stood out to me? No, the 6 was last week. I think it's 0. Christian Allegro was a pretty good linebacker I saw for them.
I don't want to speak about this Wisconsin team as if this Alabama team is one of the best teams in the country, because they have not proven to be up to this point in the season.
But Wisconsin is not good.
Yeah, it just really is tough to find a lot of good in this Wisconsin team.
Right. And so you got this line at 21.5. Roll Tide, Miss Betty Bottoms. Appreciate you watching us. You got this 21.5 point line, and I think I'm smashing it. I think if I'm trying to make some $100 back, I'm taking my 100 and taking the tie at the window.
I think I'm with you. After what I saw from them last week, again, it was ULM, but I saw that fire, saw that, you know, that attitude that kind of that just was lacking in week 1 against Florida State. You saw that kind of that fire, that Bama F you, we're Bama attitude. If they ain't wearing crimson, F them kind of deal. You know, I think you saw that from a lot of the guys on the team, really everybody on the team. And yeah, bad football team. ULM was a bad football team, and I think we've seen what they do to bad football teams.
Mason, did we talk about high school bullies on Tuesday with you?
I don't think so.
All right, so that's my big concern for this team right now. You went down to Tallahassee. You were a nice guy in high school, so you weren't a bully. Sometimes I got into a bully mindset. You see it when I'm hanging out when we're with Henry, right?
That has been the space Alabama has occupied.
Right. I wonder if Alabama is in this high school bully mindset where we are we have, you know, hapless ULM. They can't challenge us in a fight in the hallway. I'm going to beat up
the smallest guy in the room.
Right. And I'm going to throw him in the locker, and it's going to look impressive because he flew all the way across the hallway right into the locker. The locker door slammed behind him, and everybody thought, wow, that guy's scary. I don't want to mess with that guy. Like, but when Alabama plays a team that's also big and scary and big and bad, and they meet them right there toe to toe in the hallway, a la Florida State, do they back down? And so, like, I liked the response this past week against ULM. It's all you can do is throw the little kid across the hallway into the locker and have it slam behind
you. You need those easy wins to build your confidence.
But yeah, you know, that's all you could have done this week, right? Little kid challenging you, just smack him off the mat. But, you know, for everybody who's sitting there thinking that, oh, Alabama's fixed their motivation issues, they fixed their, you know, their playing hard issues, their want to issues. Yeah. I don't think that they have, because you're not going to find out this week either, because Wisconsin, while not as small a kid as ULM, still, you know, this is a high school freshman and we're the senior.
Yeah, like, you beat up a middle schooler last week. Now it's on to a freshman.
Right. Exactly. ULM's the sixth grader who just runs into your kneecap and you throw him across there. Yeah. This is now the freshman who, okay, yeah, they've worked out a few times in the high school weight room.
He's on the JV team. Right. You know?
But they ain't got no chance. I mean, you're going to have to trip and fall over yourself. You're going to have to have an injury that you sustain for yourself before you lose. So I don't even think you're going to find out this week. So I'm wondering if this Alabama team is the high school bully where, oh, we beat up the middle schooler in ULM. We beat up the high school freshman in Wisconsin. But when we play another high school senior in Georgia and they punch us back in the nose in Athens, are we going to fold? Because you go down to Tallahassee and you go 16 plays, punching them in the mouth, boom, 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 boom. We're more physical than you. And instead of Florida State, oh, we go 3-and-out because, oh, we're so scared Big Bad Bama is here. No, we fly right down the field, 4 or 5 plays, touchdown, 7-7.
All the air out of Alabama sails.
Right. And the crowd was going, roaring.
Oh, yeah.
Of course we answered your score, Big Bad Bama. We're Big Bad Florida State, too. And Alabama mentally crumbled.
Yeah, tucked their tails and turned away.
And so the ULM victory means nothing to me because of course you threw the middle schooler across the hallway into the locker. Let's see what you got when the next big bad bully steps up to you in the hallway.
I'm with you. I don't think you're wrong. I think that's a good assessment of kind of where Alabama, you know, like I said, the space that they have occupied for the last 15 or, you know, to 20 years, and then kind of where they are right now. That is correct. I think my biggest concern, I guess, is, you know, like you said, you can only play who's on your schedule.
Right.
So like who else are you going to go beat up other than the guy right in front of you? And Alabama did that. Sure. I guess my big concern is, you know, you spend all your time beating up on these little dudes. You get a big head about yourself. And
exactly.
Then when you get punched in the mouth, it's going to be the exact same thing we saw against Florida State. Now you have the opportunity to rewrite the narrative of this team with not even necessarily a win against Georgia, just a good performance. You just got to show up for that game. We're just going to have to see it. Right now the narrative is that, they can beat up on bad teams, but they can't play with good teams. And I think it was weirdly like flipped last year on that, where you would hang with good teams and then get beat up by bad teams. But you still have to fix that. And you still have to, they can only change that narrative against Georgia. Not going to be able to do it this week. You're just going to have to go out there and beat up on a little guy again.
Ty going to go 17 of 17?
Probably not.
What'd you think about that all?
That was nice. He looked good.
Now. This is okay. First week, maybe you were vindicated. Second week,
a solid 6 out of 10.
Second week, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, he's pretty dang good.
Perfect, Mason. How about that game manager? Sure. And he escaped pressure and threw that long touchdown to Jeremy Bernard.
That one was really nice.
If Jeremy hadn't cheated, then you'd put that on Ty Simpson's Heisman Trophy. Nice. Real.
I think that, you know, that's one that you still throw on the highlight tape and you just cut it a little early. It looked good.
What's he going to do this week? 17 or 23.
Yeah, that feels good. 17 or 23.
240 yards.
Yeah. Probably two touchdowns, maybe one on the ground.
Three total. Yeah. Two passing and one rushing. He's dangerous on the goal line. He's dangerous in the red zone.
He is. He's good. He's not more athletic than Jalen Milroe by any means, but he's just a different runner.
Of course he is.
He's just a different runner. They have different running styles. Jalen Milroe is much more about just let me get to a spot and then run straight from that spot. And I think Ty's got just a touch of wiggle to him, that Milroe maybe lacked.
You feeling any better or worse or the same about Ty Simpson through 2 weeks?
I feel better.
Better.
I have to see it against Georgia. That'll be the real test. If he reverts back to what we saw in Florida State against Georgia, then I think I'm maybe vindicated in my original opinion. But right now, I feel better. But that'll be the true test.
If that offense goes stale in Athens, do they go ahead and Austin Mack, Keelan Russell?
I think they definitely do. I don't think that, we said it yesterday, that one drive in the second quarter or whatever it was, that was not a, hey, we have a quarterback controversy on our hands, but it was a, hey, Ty, you better not play bad, buddy, because your leash is short. I think they will be very quick to, you have a 2-interception first half or something, we go in down 10-0. Yeah, we're throwing Austin or Keelan in there.
We got to get this offense moving.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see how big of a cannon that Austin Mack fella had? What a cannon.
Yeah. And the first play from scrimmage, second half, four verts.
He's ripping it. Just zoom.
We'll see what happens. He'll throw it to the goal line.
Run, Rico Scott, run.
Yeah, we're putting Rico Scott, Lazier Brooks, and Ryan Williams on the field and sending all of them on go routes. Whoever gets the ball first gets the touchdown.
Unfortunately, Austin Mack can outthrow all of them.
I think you might be able to. The Alabama social media team needs to really start pushing his arm strength like Tennessee did with Joe Milton. We got to see videos of him like throwing golf balls 200 yards, throwing a baseball over the fence or something.
Yeah, you need to stick him in the zone in Bryant-Denny Stadium and see if he can throw it to the other side.
Yeah, put him at the bottom, put him at the base of the stand, see if he can throw it out of the field. That'd be sweet.
See if we can throw it into the upper deck.
Austin,
I'm wide open up here.
That'd be good.
All right, let's take a quick break and let's talk about these recruits that are coming to town, these basketball recruits that are coming to town.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Get ready, Tuscaloosa. New Era Wrestling presents the Crimson Clash. The hottest local wrestling show in town slams into Two Dimes on Thursday, September 11th. Witness the chaos as social media sensation Big Trouble Ben Bishop brings his larger-than-life swagger to the ring. The man is 6'12", he weighs 15% of a metric ton, and is bringing every bit to Tuscaloosa. Feel the heat when our new champion, Sleazy C. Caden Newton, defends the open title. And don't miss the brutal street fight between the modern-day kings and the unstoppable force known as the Draw. It's the same weekend as Alabama hosting Wisconsin, so keep the Tuscaloosa energy high with the Crimson Clash. Doors open at 7 p.m. and the bell rings at 8 p.m. at Two Dimes on the Strip. Grab your tickets now on Eventbrite by searching New Era Wrestling and use promo code RADIO for 20% off. New Era Wrestling, where legends are made and the battles are epic.
And Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback who is he's been fantastic.
And welcome back to the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. We're live in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios. Call Derek for all of your insurance needs, home, life, auto insurance needs at 205-758-3030. 3391, hanging out with Mason Woods right here on a Wednesday. Hope you guys are doing well. We're starting to get ready for this Wisconsin matchup. Alabama hosts Wisconsin 11 a.m. right there on ABC. You can find it on Bryant-Denny Stadium and all the coverage right here on BamaCentral.com. Katie Windham leading our coverage. We'll be there on Saturday morning. Who else is going to be there, Mason Woods? Caleb Holt, and who's the newest five-star that's coming on the trip? Alabama's basketball class starting to round out. You got two class of 2026 commits. And I don't care about anybody else unless it's Caleb Holt. So who's coming to join Caleb Holt? And what do you think Nate Oates is doing on the recruiting trail?
I think Nate Oates and Preston Murphy are cooking on the recruiting trail. You mentioned the two commits. They landed Chris Washington Jr. earlier this week. And then today, this morning while we were recording, landed Terrace Bowie. This weekend, you are expected to host, as you said, Caleb Holt, the electrifying five-star guard, kind of wing SC. He really can do a lot of things. I think he is trying to, mold his game into being more of a true guard, but from what I've seen, he can kind of play one through the three, basically, maybe even a little touch of the four. But the other guy you will be welcoming this weekend is Dylan Mingo, a five-star from Long Island, New York.
Long Island.
Oh, I love it. Give me all the New Yorkers on the basketball team. That's like the grittiest brand basketball player on the planet is a New Yorker. We saw it with Javon Quinterly being a Northeast guy.
Modi Abate
was a Northeast guy, and I'm sure there's other examples that I'm blanking on right now. But I love those scrappy, gritty players like that. And Dylan Mingo looks to be one. A 6'5", 200-pound combo guard. I mean, he had offers from UConn, Miami, and in UNC. Anybody you could think of, basically, he had an offer from. Here's the just looking at the 247 scouting report on him. Mingo is a big guard with length, versatility, a natural feel for the game, and an ability to get wherever he wants with the ball in his hands.
Yes.
He has a tight handle. He can break his defender down with combo moves, navigate a crowded lane instinctively, and make reads out of ball screens, utilize both hands, and create for himself and others. He is a terrific perimeter rebounder, 7.6 boards a game, a disruptive defender, two steals, and is also capable of guarding multiple positions.
Yes.
To be honest, that's a very similar scouting report to what I have kind of developed for Caleb Holt in the bit of time I have spent watching his highlights, online and things, wherever you can find them. It seems like two really good, just two-way players that can dominate on both ends of the floor, Caleb Holt and Dylan Mingo. So two guys you maybe don't want to leave Tuscaloosa without getting their commitment.
And you love the length for both of them, 6'5", 6'6", for each player. Who's this guy that we just ended up with? Okay. Terrace Bowie is, you got a height and weight, 6'6", 170. So another guy, 6'6", 170.
Length.
What about the young man, the Chris fellow that we got? First commit, Chris Washington Jr. Chris Washington Jr. is come on, Hunter, right at the top. 6'8". So 6'6", 6'5", 6'6", and 6'8" for the four big targets right here early in the class of 2026. Love that.
Yeah.
Disrespect to the Mark Sears of the world, who are 5'11 and 5'10 sure. and 5'9 and 5...
Whatever.
but can we get some 6'5" basketball players in here, Coach Oates?
I think you're seeing the future of the game right before our eyes here. The future of basketball is positionless.
No wonder.
It is. Let me get five guys on the court that are 6'9", and we'll play hoops that way.
No wonder the basketball practice facility looks so big. We got to make it even taller and wider and lengthier for all the length we're recruiting to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah. I saw the picture of it this morning. It looks like it's coming along. And, it's hard to tell where it is right now, but there's some walls up, and that's what counts. So if anybody looking to get a sneak peek of it, get on down to Paul Bryant, and you can take a look at it.
Caleb Holt, a more impactful recruit than J.D. Davison? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to speak too soon. I thought J.D. was going to be a very good player, but I think, maybe I don't want anybody to pull the receipts on this. I'm sure they could find some clips of me talking about how insane he was going to be as a freshman. Da, 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 da. But I do feel like I somewhat recall, a lot of us, you could see some of the deficiencies in his game as a recruit, where it was like, a lot of this is still projection based. A lot of this is he's just a really explosive athlete. He couldn't shoot all that well. He had an okay handle. But you don't see those issues with Caleb Holt. You see dominance with Caleb Holt.
better prospect than LeBaron Filon?
I mean, physically, yes.
Yeah, barely. Yeah. I'm just trying to think of the in-state guys. Caleb Holt and LeBaron were LeBaron and JD Davison were the last two, like, top player in the state of Alabama that Nate Oates could go after and get.
Let's see.
You can't do that every year because some years you end up with what's the little white shooting guard that that ended up going like North Alabama?
The one that we got tweets and stuff about for months leading up. Yes. What was his name? Hey, look.
The point being, you can't always just take the number one player in Alabama.
And I don't want to, not to disparage him whatsoever. That kid put together one of the best 4-year stretch of a high school basketball player.
Tommy Murr, right?
He was incredible at his level in the state of Alabama.
Right.
He was never going to be a top Division I prospect.
So you can't just take the number one player in the state every year, no matter what. I think it was Tommy Murr.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
Tommy Murr ended up going to North Alabama and having a fine little college career.
I haven't followed up, but I'm sure he's doing okay.
So I'm just thinking of the premier guys, JD Davison, like Nate had to get him.
Yeah.
Nate had, like, you had to. Even though he wasn't really a great fit,
you needed to. It's a optics thing, like
right over the school over in West Georgia, right? So you had to get JD, and you got him. LeBaron, you honestly lucked into LeBaron.
He fell into
right because LeBaron was going to go to Auburn, going to go to Ole Miss, going to go to Kansas, and then falls to Alabama after just all kinds of wild stuff. And so you ended up with LeBaron as well. So the last two. State of Alabama, top prospect NBA type guys. You ended up getting. You got to continue. You go 3-for-3 and get Caleb Holt.
Yeah, I think you absolutely do. Caleb Holt, dominant in the time that I have or the bit that I have seen from him.
State of Alabama needs one of these prep schools.
They really do, honestly, because they do produce a pretty good amount of basketball talent, and a lot of
we should
goes
step away
elsewhere.
From this and get ourselves accredited.
Let's get into the charter school business.
That's right. Yeah. That's what we need to do.
There's a lot of money there. A lot of money to be made.
It could be.
Caleb Holt suits up for Game Elite and A. So, look, I'm not exactly sure how this whole ecosystem works. I tried to do my best to figure it out, but it's all very confusing. He plays for Game Elite, which is an AAU team. They play in the Adidas Three Stripes Select Basketball League, which is not just like a Adidas just contacts AAU teams across the country to say, hey, would you like to play in our league? So it's not like this is Adidas team. They just kind of grabbed them and pull in the best AAU teams to play in this league. So he is playing against some of the best competition in the country. He averaged 20.6 points, 7.1 rebounds, and 2.9 assists per game. And then also 2 steals just to really hammer it home. Also 55% from the field, over 50. I think it was like 56.2 or something.
All right, and remind me.
80% free throw shooter, too. Oh, love it. I mean, slasher, he can get to the basket, and he can shoot free throws. What else do you, what more do you need, Nate Oates?
Nothing. We need your signature, Caleb Holt. So remind me one more time, the 5-star from New York's name is?
Dylan Mingo.
Mingo.
Long Island.
Dylan Mingo. Mingo.
From Long Island Lutheran.
You get those 4, your class is pretty much set. You don't have a big man, but bleep it. We don't need one.
I mean, we're sitting here we're running. Of 2025. You got the number 3 2026 class in the country.
We'll get a big man out of the portal.
I've seen, a lot of talk, especially this college football season, really over the last like 2 years or so about, people realizing that, oh, it's kind of a cheat code to just go get a quarterback that's been in college football for 5-6 seasons and then bring him into my team. I think you almost have a bit of a similar situation with, centers and power forwards in college basketball where let's just go get a guy that has been around the block for 3-4 years and just see what he's got rather than taking your chances with a freshman.
Onye Giaka will be a sophomore next year, so he'll be set. He'll be fine.
That's true.
Collins Onye Giaka.
I mean, and also, what, you got Keaton Bartow, the other 7-footer.
He's going to be a Bristow. Bristow. He's going to be a beast. Yeah. You're going to have to remember his name.
And what was the other guy, the other transfer you brought in from?
Bull Bowen.
Yep.
Taylor Bull Bowen from
6'11".
So you're set for a minute.
Yeah, you got size. You got length on this basketball team. And you got length coming to this basketball team as well.
All right, Mason Woods, what are we going to get into today? I am going to rewatch this YouTube video, Wisconsin at Miami of Ohio. They've got it cut into a 90-minute clip. I love that. I love
those extended highlights, or not even extended highlights, but the...
They cut out all the crud, and it's just ball. It's bam, 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 90 minutes, and you watch the game. I'm going to watch that, and I'm probably going to try to pull the MTSU game. I ended up catching the MTSU game on a replay. But I think I can watch it again on FoxSports.com, like on demand or whatever. So I'll try to watch those two. I have a lead on a Wisconsin rider who I will try to get us connected to is for either tonight or the next 2 days. So I would love that. The rest of the day, we've got SEC coaches teleconference 11:30. So we'll hear from Coach DeBoer. Anything I should ask him?
Oh, let's see. Do we have anything overly interesting for him this week? We saw Steve Bolabuma, so my questions surrounding him have kind of been answered as of this past week. Is there anybody else that we didn't see that we expected to this week against ULM? Not that I can think of off the top of my head. I guess, you know, maybe he'll give us an update on Ryan Williams, see where he's at. I'm sure that will be priority number one, so I don't think anybody's going to have to ask him about that. I don't know.
So we'll hear from him at 11:30. He joins Hey Coach at 6:30. I think it's actually at 7. They go 7 to 8 for that portion, I believe.
It's awfully late.
Yeah.
Especially for the Hey Coach crowd.
It's 6:30 to 8, isn't it? Isn't it a 90-minute program?
That sounds about right.
I think that's right. So we'll hear that. So one more set of comments for Kalen DeBoer tonight from the Hey Coach end of things on Crimson Tide Sports Network. That's going to be it for the media sphere. You'll be able to find the Alabama practice footage on the Bama Central YouTube channel. We got yesterday's up. We'll get today's up here in a little bit. So a couple of things will hit the Bama Central YouTube channel, coaches teleconference and the practice footage. We'll be back tomorrow, hopefully with a Wisconsin rider. And if not, it'll just be Mason and I making you a little bit smarter because I'll have more time watching the Badgers under my belt. We'll get out of here for the day. You guys will find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. You'll find us on the Bama Central YouTube channel and on all our social media platforms, the Bama Central Facebook page, and right there on Twitter at Joe Gaither 6. We'll talk to you tomorrow. This is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.